This book has made all the headlines and is a bestseller around the country, Deep State, Trump, the FBI, and the Rule of Law. It's a narrative account of the politically explosive FBI investigations into both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. It is the fullest picture to date of the epic battle now underway between the President of the United States and the investigative arm of the Department of Justice, the FBI. In Deep State, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter James B. Stewart shows how Trump repeatedly tried to obstruct a legitimate investigation, which was anything but a witch hunt or a hoax. It reveals the intent and motives behind his actions and offers compelling evidence that Trump could clearly be charged with crimes upon leaving office. James Stewart has been breaking major legal and business stories for over 30 years, first as a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Wall Street Journal, currently as a New York Times columnist and staff writer for The New Yorker. His best-selling books include Den of Thieves, Disney War, and Bloodsport. A quick check of our archives tells me that he has been on for each of those books, so it's a great pleasure to welcome him back for the latest Deep State. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Very, very nice to have you on the program. All right, so it seems like everything's gone to hell. What hasn't gone to hell? Like, what is still left standing right now?
Well, you know, it's still standing, but it's tottering, which are the independent law enforcement agencies of the federal government, and namely the Justice Department and the investigative arm, the FBI. I say that in part because, you know, a week or so ago, we learned that in an investigation run by the U.S. Attorney in the Southern District of New York, which is a historically somewhat independent office, two close associates of Rudy Giuliani got arrested and charged. And to me, that shows at least somebody in there is still doing their constitutional duty, which is to investigate and follow the facts wherever they lead. Now, I say these institutions are tottering because we now have, you know, William Barr running the Justice Department. Comey was fired at the FBI. You know, Barr rushes out to exonerate Trump, you know, falsely, in my view, based on the Mueller report. And now he's out trying to show that the Russia investigation was some kind of hoax or witch hunt. And he quickly stepped forward in the Ukraine thing to say, oh, there's nothing to investigate because I don't see any evidence of a crime. I mean, the classic and correct thing for him to have done would have been to say, okay, we have a whistleblower allegation, FBI, go investigate it, find the facts, and then I'll reach a conclusion. But no, he reached a conclusion before there ever was an investigation. The FBI isn't even looking into it. That is seriously undermining the tradition of independent law enforcement in this country.
So
I don't know, that's not a very happy answer, but there is this glimmer of light, I think, and that some aspects of it are still functioning.
Well, and I look for any glimmer because, I mean, let's face it, your book is bleak in the sense of looking at the relationship between the president and the FBI, and as you say in the subtitle, the rule of law, which is very questionable at this point. So where... Give us a sense of the beginnings of the relationship between the president and the FBI.
Well, it was uneasy from the beginning. I think initially Trump was quite happy with James Comey as the FBI director because Comey, you know, days before the election, reopened the Hillary investigation. And many people thought that is what put Trump in office. And Trump hailed that decision and said he was a, you know, man of honor and courage for doing that. But that didn't last long. I mean, there was this famous, now famous, one-on-one dinner between Trump and Comey where Trump is pushing Comey for loyalty, and he doesn't really get the answer he wants, because what Trump has never seemed to understand, and which goes to the heart of the rule of law, is that the FBI and the Justice Department have a degree of independence. They do not work for him. They work for the American people, and their oath is to uphold the Constitution. They, in many cases, act as a check on the power of the presidency, which is part of our constitutional system of government. But if things did not go well that first launch, I mean, things were our dinner. Things were already bad because Comey had briefed Trump on the existence of an ongoing investigation, which included the salacious allegations about Trump in Moscow, supposedly meeting with prostitutes at the Ritz-Carlton. And even though Comey went out of his way to say, look, we don't necessarily believe this is true, we just want you to be aware that these allegations are there and that we do have to investigate it. Trump immediately interpreted that as some kind of leverage over him. And the very next day, based on my reporting, it's the first time he starts to talk about firing Comey. So things basically went downhill from there. But it's extraordinary to me to see that out of this personal animosity, and by the way, you can't find two more different people than Trump and Comey. I mean, right. At their core, they are about as different as you can get. They were bound to clash. But the idea that you would have a Republican president now engaged in an all-out war with the FBI and the Justice Department, undermining public confidence in their integrity. And I come from the, you know, a Republican area of the Midwest. I never would have believed it. I mean, law and order was a hallmark of the Republican platform, and the support for the FBI ran deep in the Republican Party. So I find this whole turn of events really extraordinary.
So in your reporting of the book, at the point that you finally turn the book over to the publisher, and then life takes over and the news keeps going, and we have this most recent event with the call in the Ukraine and Giuliani and what Barr's relationship was, what Pompeo's relationship was to that call, does any of that surprise you in the sense that the you in your reporting seem to have seen all of the skeletal the architecture for all of this coming down the pike?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, I was not that surprised. I mean, in one sense, it's extraordinary that having just come through the Mueller investigation, the day after Mueller testifies in Congress, Trump gets on the phone with the president of Ukraine and hands the Democrats, if not everyone else, the one missing piece from the Russia investigation, which is they didn't have Trump's fingerprints on an overt conspiracy with the Russians. And here he invites, you know, Ukraine to get involved in the election. But all of that behavior is on in ample display in the pages of Deep State. I mean, first of all, he's impulsive. He acts from his quote-unquote gut. He doesn't listen to people around him. People who disagree with him, he gets rid of. I mean, look at Lewandowski, Bannon, Sessions, you know, at the Justice Department, Don McGahn, his White House counsel. They all protected him. They all had sense enough not to break the law when he told them to do it. And the reward for that, to varying degrees, was to be humiliated, and he got rid of them. And then, maybe worst of all, he lies about what he did. He covers up things, which is the way, you know, it makes him look guilty, whether he's guilty or not. So he's his own worst enemy. But he only sees the world in binary terms. You either win or lose. The Mueller report came out. He declared that total victory, total exoneration. He learned nothing from it except that he got away with it, and he goes right out and doubles down the next day.
So let's talk about the term deep state for a moment. And what does that mean to the president? What does it mean in regards to the title of your book?
Well, this was the central question of my book. It runs through the whole thing. Is there a deep state? Is there this sinister bureaucratic conspiracy to overturn a Democratic election and get rid of Trump? Or is Trump kind of weaponizing this? Is he using it to distract from his own activities and to brand people who are really doing their jobs as something sinister, even as he's put it, unpatriotic? He's calling people like Comey and McCabe and others in the FBI, calling them traitors. He's implying they deserve the death penalty. So where does the truth lie? And I went at it with an open mind. You know, there's some truth to both sides, I guess, but there's no question in my mind that to a very large degree, Trump has turned this into a propaganda tool of his own to distract from his activities. We don't have a deep state in this country the way Egypt or Turkey has had bureaucracies that periodically overthrow a dictator or elected official. We have a federal bureaucracy, which, as I said, is charged with being independent and to follow the law wherever it leads without fear or favor. The notion deeply embedded in our democracy that no man is above the law. He has turned that concept and is using it as a weapon to discredit people who dare to bring facts to light that don't comply with his personal narrative. You know, again, you can argue about the Hillary email case, but when confronted with it, she didn't go out and attack the people who dare to investigate her. She's not out there saying, oh, there's some sinister conspiracy to get me. Although, you know, occasionally Clinton did talk about this so-called right-wing conspiracy. But she behaved pretty much as any innocent person would, which is to cooperate. Yes, use the lawyers and the rights that are afforded you as someone who's being investigated. But don't attack the people who are accusing you. This is the kind of strategy that typically people who are guilty or at least have evidence that is very strongly against them use to distract. Look at the O.J. Simpson case where they, you know, attacked the prosecutor. It's a tried and true strategy. I wonder how many times, though, Trump can use it. I mean, he used it in the Mueller situation. He's out investigating Mueller now. Now he's invoking it with the Ukraine. So suddenly we've got not just the FBI, the Justice Department, the deep state. Now the State Department is part of the deep state. Now we've got the Syria situation. Next he'll be calling the military part of the deep state. I mean, is everybody in the deep state except Trump? That just simply doesn't hold water.
You make the point. I mean, here we are now. So White House counsel, Attorney General, and FBI, all of those positions now seem to be people who, and I guess we could add Secretary of State to that, of people who are with the president, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you see the saga in here of the kind of transformation of Rod Rosenstein, who gets in there and starts out, you know, who's a respected independent prosecutor. He ends up standing there meekly while, you know, Barr makes his conclusions about the Mueller report. Barr just shamelessly campaigning for the job by currying favor with Trump and then rushing to judgment, mischaracterizing the Mueller report, which he, you know, brazenly did so much that Mueller had to write a letter reprimanding him. And now, and I think most disturbingly, the whistleblower comes forward on Ukraine. It reaches Barr. Barr says, oh, there's no crime here, so there's nothing to investigate, so I'm not even going to have the FBI look into it. This is where you see independent law enforcement being undermined. It's the danger that I point to in deep state, and you can see it taking shape step by step as Trump gets control, gets the people who will bend to his will in these positions. I mean, what Barr should have done is taken the whistleblower complaint, handed it over to the FBI, said, look into this, bring me the facts, and then I'll make a decision about whether it was a crime or not. He didn't even have the facts. So, you know, I really do feel that the House has no choice but to investigate it, because if they don't, who will?
One of the things that I'm curious about in our, we just have about 3 or 4 minutes left, but when you think about of people testifying now and going before subpoena and going behind closed doors and sort of and saying what happened, and it's very damning, and what we're hearing, they're not in public, but what we're hearing is very damning. I look at people like Barr and I think, okay, but what is he getting out of it? Like, what does he get out of that by doing this with the president? And that I don't get.
Well, you know, he testified in his confirmation hearings that he didn't need to be attorney general. He'd already been there before. So it wasn't like he didn't need to add that to his resume. But I think that was somewhat disingenuous. I think Barr, and, you know, he's not alone in this, but this is a fantastic job. It's one of the most powerful jobs in the world to be the Attorney General of the United States. I mean, the perks, he's got his own airplane, he's got his own dining room, he's got a palatial suite at the Justice Department. But more than that, he wields enormous power. And I think coupled with that is, again, I'll give him some credit. I'm sure he probably does have a very broad view of executive power, and, you know, he is suspicious of liberals permeating, you know, the federal bureaucracy that may have it out for Trump. But I think the irony of that is that, you know, there's no poll to show how many people in the FBI are Republicans or Democrats, but I'd bet anything that the majority are Republicans. You know, this is not some hotbed of liberal ideology. On the contrary, and I think Barr, like many people, has been seduced by, you know, the proximity to power and the great power that he does wield in this job, and he doesn't want to give it up.
James B. Stewart's new book is Deep State: Trump, the FBI, and the Rule of Law. The book is now out and published by Penguin Press. James, thanks so much, as always, for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Nice to be with you again.
Thanks
very much.
Again, the name of the book, Deep State: Trump, the FBI, and the Rule of Law. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.